please turn them to the very back in the book of 1 John, John's letter to the church. And we're in the last chapter, chapter 5, and we'll be in verses 6 through 12 today. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6 through 12. And just in case there are any visitors who I didn't have a chance to meet during the greeting time, the young lady who read scripture just a moment ago, she's already married, just so you all know that. And everybody to know. So we'll be reading 1 John chapter 5, and you can please stand with me as we read verses 6 through 12. To the Apostle John, the Holy Spirit writes these words to us. Jesus Christ, He is the one who came by water and blood. Not by water only, but by water and by blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are in agreement. If we accept the testimony of men, God's testimony is greater. Because it is God's testimony that He has given about His Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given about His Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. The one who has the Son has life. The one who does not have the Son does not have life. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that as we read and study this text, that we will understand the challenges and the implications of it. Father, we'll be reminded of Your faithfulness to Your testimony from the very beginning, and Your faithfulness to Your testimony and Your promises in each one of our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, last week when we were in Sunday school, Gary was teaching, and we were talking about, in the Lifeway curriculum, we were talking about Exodus, and we were talking about the Ark of the Covenant. And Gary asked the question, what are the three objects, or what are the three furnishings inside of the Ark of the Covenant? And I think between all of us in the class, we got all three of them. And then he asked the question, well, what do these three things have in common? So you have the tablets, you have the manna, and you have Aaron's staff. What do these three things have in common? And in Exodus chapter 32, the way that it talks about the ark is it talks about the ark as the ark of testimony. The ark of testimony, as well as the ark of the covenant. But it refers to it as an ark, or specifically a box, that testifies to something else. And what Gary said is something I had not thought about before, but that each one of these elements is a testimony of God's provision in different ways. God's provision to give us His Word through the tablets, God's provision to take care of our physical needs through the manna, and God's provision to take care of the leadership of His people through Aaron's staff. And each one of those things was pointing to the fact that God is great, and He fulfills His promises to His people, and He wanted His people to always remember that. And so inside of that ark, He kept those three objects. Well, this morning, we're going to be looking. John is doing the same thing as we just read and you just saw. He's talking about the testimony of God. The testimony of God. And he tells us exactly what it is. In verse 6, it says this. It's a little bit difficult to understand as I first read it. I thought, what in the world are we going to do with this week? It says, Jesus Christ, He's the one who came by water and blood. Not by water only, but by water and by blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. So you have these three things that testify. You have the water testifies, the blood testifies, and the Spirit testifies. And so I'm thinking, well, these three terms are used all throughout Scripture, and they can be interpreted in all sorts of different ways. And so who do we kind of look to, or what are these specifically referring to? The first thing that you might think about when you think about water is baptism, and when you think about blood is the Lord's Supper. Talk about this is the blood of the covenant, and you take it. And those are the two specific commandments, the two specific rituals that we carry out, baptism and Lord's Supper. One initiates us into the church, one keeps us as part of the church, right? Those two things. So maybe this water and this blood are referring to the testimony inside of those two ordinances. Well, that's what John Calvin and that's what Martin Luther would say that this is doing. But the more I looked at it, I think I disagree with those two guys. Maybe the water and the blood and the testimony is when Jesus is hanging on the cross and they take the spear finally and they stick it through his side and out comes flowing out of the side, it says, is a mixture of water and the blood, which would have been a testimony that he actually died. That would have been one of the signifiers, if you were a doctor at the time, to know that he had passed from life into death, is that both of those elements would have come pouring out of the side. So maybe this is in reference to the crucifixion and what's happening there. But again, it didn't seem to make sense inside of the context of what John's doing in the letter, so I thought, well, maybe that's not the best example either. Then I thought, well, maybe it's just really biological. Maybe this is just kind of a lesson in biology and water and blood. That's what the testimony is. So they just want us to know that Jesus came as a real person, just like every other baby in water and in blood. And that was what was happening. And again, I thought, well, that's probably not the best explanation. So here's what I think it is. Here's what I think John is doing when he says that these three things are testifying, and specifically the first two in verse 6, both water and blood. If you remember, we've been talking about the reason John's having to write this letter to this church is because somebody came in and started teaching something different about Jesus. So instead of the message that John had told him about Jesus, that Jesus is both God and he is both God. Because remember, the heavens opened up, and God said, this is my Son, whom I'm well pleased. So what they were saying is, at that time, all of a sudden, that's when he kind of transformed or morphed into God, and that's how he was able to do all the miracles in the next 3 years. And then, at his death, when he said, take my spirit, or release my spirit, that's when he ceased to be God. Because God could never die, and so he gave up his messiahship right there on the cross, and then he died right after that. So there was this momentary period, God, for those short 2.5, 3 years. But what John is saying is that if you say that, then you're giving up the whole story, what John's arguing. He's been arguing that from the very beginning. And so what I think he's doing here, and what I think he's reminding us of, this testimony of water and blood, is I think he's addressing those two specific things when Jesus passes through the waters of baptism and his death on the cross when the blood flows out. So what I think he's saying is Jesus, and if you look specifically at the phrase, it says this, he came by water and blood, not by water and blood only, but by water and by blood, these three testify. And so it's using the term, came by it and he passed through it. So what he's trying to argue, I think, the best way to understand it is to think about the and to really get right our understanding of who Jesus is. And so he's saying that he was Jesus, the Messiah, from the beginning, through his baptism, through